And good morning once again. Time is 9:06. I'm Chad Holmes. Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Currently in Wausau, we've seen quite a bit of cloud cover early on. Mostly cloudy skies, temperature of 70 degrees. Of course, things have quieted down after a rather active evening last night in terms of some severe thunderstorms. But to talk about what looks to be a very pleasant-looking weekend, we are joined from Weatherology by our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki. And Jennifer, first of all, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I tell you, it was an active night. We talked about it yesterday, that the possibility of some rather significant rainfall, some thunderstorms. We had some severe thunderstorm warnings, had some even some hail in different areas. It was quite an evening last night.
It really was, yeah, across a lot of the Central Plains and Upper Midwest, and it looks like there were quite a lot of wind and hail reports last night into early this morning, as well as the thunderstorms kind of continued for parts of, especially around Lake Superior. So, it still looks like we potentially have a marginal risk for severe weather here for today as well, but we're just on the northern cusp of that. If you go a little bit farther to the southern portions of the listening area, they'll have a little bit of a higher risk, but we are still looking at a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here throughout the day today, with mostly cloudy skies and a high getting up right around about the mid-80s. We should be around about 80 degrees, low 80s, so slightly above average for this time of the year, and then for tonight, still a chance for showers and storms. Cloudy overnight, lows around about 57. A little bit of a cool down for the weekend, though, even slightly below average. Saturday, we'll see that cold front coming in. Mostly sunny skies. High gets up right around about 79. 78 degrees here for your Sunday. Pretty similar day with that high pressure system in control and sunny skies. Monday, sunshine, high of 80. Then 82 here by Tuesday with mostly sunny skies.
Does not sound like it could be much better for the weekend for anybody that does have outdoor activities. It's not going to be too hot. Going to get a lot of sunshine. It really, as we get, towards August, and then, of course, to get closer and closer to the autumn, you have to savor weekends like this, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, it's not going to be super hot like we've been experiencing, but still a summer-like weekend.
Absolutely. Well, Jennifer, have yourself a great weekend, and we'll catch you again on Monday.
Thanks to you.
Right now in Wausau, mostly cloudy skies. Temperature stands at 70 degrees. Winds are out of the east at 6 miles per hour. The dew point is 67 degrees, relative humidity of 91%, the barometer at 29.95 inches, and a visibility of 9 miles. It is a Friday morning. The time is 9:09. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And very happy to welcome back here for her monthly visit here at the end of July, the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg.
Hello. Hey, how
good,
are you?
Good, doing good. I tell you, again, when you see weather like last night, you were saying that you were affected a little bit with the power outage.
We lost power for a bit, yep.
You're somebody that has your finger in so many areas when it comes to, you know, what's going on here in Wausau. But when a storm comes through, you're kind of, you know, for the ride as well, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I let the team know. I'm like, you can contact me, but my power is out. So I actually tried to, you know, fall asleep a little early, and then the second I did, the lights all came back on. So, you know, I tried.
We're going to talk about plenty of issues, but we have to take a break in a couple of moments. But before the break, one of the things that's been sort of big, and I was wondering, you know, somebody as busy as yourself, the movies are back in big time, you know, and Barbie making records, Oppenheimer. I saw Oppenheimer myself last weekend. Ooh. Were you able to see either of the big movies yet?
No, I haven't. My friends have seen them. They love them.
I tell you, it's like, you know, and again, it's somebody, again, a young woman who's gone into mayoral, you know, into politics and the public service. And it sounds as though, and I haven't seen Barbie, but the message that's put out there within the media, because the media is very, you know, it influences a lot. It's wonderful to see a movie that does sound like it has a message, especially for young women.
Yeah, I think that's really thrilling. And obviously, I believe that women and people of any stripe can do whatever they want. So, yes, absolutely. Your dream home is yours, whatever that looks like.
Well, you got to get out and see it. And I would say get out and see Oppenheimer, but you're too busy. That's 3 hours long. And it's one
Maybe
thing.
Maybe I need to do a back-to-back one, just an entire day.
I think that would be too much, actually. I mean, come on. got to do it one at a time. But we are going to take a quick timeout, then come back and delve in, talk about what's going on here in the city of Wausau with the mayor, Katie Rosenberg. So we'll take a quick timeout, come back, have more. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant in a West End town. Call the police, there's a madman around, running down underground to a dive bar in a West End town.
In a West End town, a dead end world, the East End boys and West End
coming up fast on another high school sports season here in central Wisconsin. Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still covers high school sports on a play-by-play basis. I'm Chad Holmes. I've been with WXCO for over 20 years, bringing you coverage of Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon High School sports. In order to continue the coverage of the Warriors, Cardinals, and Red Raiders at the level we have over the years, we need your support. We are looking for businesses and individuals to help support our broadcast of high school sports on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Please help us continue to tell the stories of our student athletes here in central Wisconsin. To find out the different options to support our broadcast of high school sports, give our Civic Media sales team a call at 608-949-8989. That's 608-949-8989. It's your chance to show your support of our student athletes and continue our broadcast of high school sports on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Joined by Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg for the second hour of the program. And I said to you before we went back on the air, I need to know about the goats.
You know, everyone needs to know about
I know, the goats. And I should. I feel almost embarrassed to have to ask about the goats.
Oh, man.
What are the point of the goats? What are the goats doing?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so.
And I saw they just left.
They did just leave. They did such a good job. They left a little bit early. So we hired these goats. This is the third year we brought them in. They are from Liberation Farmers in Almond, Wisconsin, and they're eating invasive species on Barker Stewart Island. So they're eating things like honeysuckle and buckthorn, and they do a really good job. And, you know, they also, when they digest the berries of these plants, it renders them mostly inactive. So we're doing this over and over and over again so that we can get rid of the invasives and reclaim this island as a nice little park for us.
Very nice. Also, earlier this morning on the national news, there was talk about 3M and PFAS.
Oh, yeah, there was.
And, yeah, that you know, nationally, in terms of them trying to kind of clean up the deck, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And clean up being the operative terms, because what you've been trying to do is clean up a lot of the issues led by this. Whew. But in terms of what you've been hearing, because I know that last time we talked, we mentioned that the city of Wausau has engaged representation to try and get back some of the money so it's not left on the shoulders of the taxpayers here in Wausau. Number one, what do you know about what's going on? Number two, your thoughts on almost a grand bargain that they're trying to put through? But I've heard as well there's pushback here on it that, hey, we don't want to be involved in that. But where do you stand? Where does the city stand on this?
Yeah, so we entered the lawsuit, I believe it was in May when the city council voted unanimously, which is a great thing for us to enter this lawsuit. What we wanted to do is recover the costs that are associated with PFAS remediation.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just one of a handful of cases, actually. So there's at least four, I think, that we're involved in. But this one is specifically with 3M. Yep. And, you know, we were excited about the settlement concept, you know, billions of dollars, you kind of think about this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I read through some of the documents shared by both the governor and the Attorney General, Josh Call. And, you know, what they're saying is, some of the details of this settlement aren't good for people. And so, you know, this is the work of a community, right? We all are in this, and we anticipated and expected the AGs to kind of push back a little bit, which is great. That's their job. Mm-hmm. This is politics. And so we're going to wait to see what happens next. But, you know, overall, their points are well taken. And my goal has always been to recover costs for the ratepayers of Wausau, because this is expensive work. And it's going to be expensive for any community that finds themselves in this situation.
When it comes to this, where you actually, you and the council did, you know, engage these attorneys, how much control do you have when these discussions come up? I mean, obviously, when you hear about, you know, massive talks in terms of a settlement,
right,
how closely do you watch it? Or you say, hey, you guys, we've hired you to do this work. We trust that you're going to be able to make some good judgments. How involved are you and the council involved with this?
Well, so you can take it a couple ways, right? Like, these big kind of tort cases are just, they're big.
Yeah.
There's over 300 municipalities that have signed on. And then obviously more than 300 municipalities would benefit from a settlement. Or, you know, if the case goes through and there's, you know, determination by a judge. So, you know, there's a little bit that we could do, I suppose. And I think you know me a little bit. I'm not really interested in just signing on and then letting her go. I've been in contact with this attorney that we hired quite a bit. And, you know, I talked to him just yesterday even. And I want to know everything. I want to know what's going on. I want to know where we stand. I want to know what's next. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of that. So there might be some more interesting things coming up that I am excited about. But obviously, like, the goal is always just to recover those costs. It's a lot of money.
Where do we, there's still rumbles of folks who are, you know, upset about this. And where do we stand? Are you, again, happy with where we are in terms of both, in terms of what you've been able to accomplish with the cleanup, and also, again, dealing with the, I guess, the pushback on the rates?
Right.
As you talk to, again, people, and again, this is an opportunity, I think, to again, because I was talking to a guest just the other day who, again, says, actually said, and I'm going to put this out there, the feeling that you're actually, the rates are higher than they need to be, that somehow you're using some of the funding for other things. Again, I have no idea about this, but there's apparently some thought about this out there.
So
could you explain again where we are, the reason why the rates are exactly where they are? Are they at the level that they have to be at? Mm-hmm. Maybe just explain that, because I found that conversation, I did not have all the information. I thought I'd ask you about that.
Yeah, so that's not really something that we can do as a city, is ask for money and then not spend it on what we say that we're spending it on.
Right.
So that's just, I can go ahead and tell you that's not true. So what happened was, back when the initial drinking water treatment facility was first being built and posited, that initial rate case requested 45% increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so that went through the council, the utility, all of that, and then it went to the Public Service Commission. And the Public Service Commission looked at it, and they're like, we understand why you're asking for this much money. We get it. However, we want to make sure that you are putting this money towards building that asset.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is 2020, 2019, in that time frame. So we'll give you half of it. They raised the rates 27.5%, and they said, come back to us when your asset is online, and we can analyze how it's doing and what else you need to get it done. So that's what we did. And of course, in the meantime, we discovered this PFAS situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, a $17.5 million project that we are kind of positioning ourselves for. And so that's more. It's more money. So that's where we're at. And that's why the rate is the way it is. I would say, when it comes to, like, not using the money for what it's used for, that's just, it's not true. We have to. Like, we have to. The state is looking at us. The DNR is looking at us. The Department of Health Services is looking at us. Everyone's looking at us. All of these documents are open to the public. So whoever your guest was, I would welcome them to chat with me if they're confused. We can definitely get those documents.
Very good. Again, we're talking to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Another issue that's still causing, I think, some discussion and maybe a little bit of upset is the whole downtown construction and the renovations downtown. And obviously, since we last spoke, there was a meeting discussing again about being pushed back. Can you maybe give a thumbnail sketch on why this is occurring, why the timetable has been changed a little bit? And is there any reason for worry about, you know, what ultimately your goals are downtown?
Yeah, so obviously we want the redevelopment to happen as soon as possible. And, you know, it's not all stopped. The Children's Museum will be open in October. Really excited about that. You've probably experienced some of the inconvenience of trying to drive around Forest Street. That is under construction, some of those roads. But the apartments through T-Wall are delayed a little bit. And, you know, I wish that I could say, hey, I demand that you go build this right now. But, you know, they're working directly with WAS and there's a delay, and they said that they don't have the capital they need right now, and this is normal operating. And, you know, I'm listening to these arguments. I don't love them, but there's really not a position that we have right now other than we could say, we're not going to extend that deadline. We could say, nope, sorry, moving on. But, you know, we haven't really put money into that either. We have structured our deal with them that we won't give them money until they put that asset online, right? So that's what we are waiting for. So the taxpayers can feel happy that nobody's getting a TIF payment. And it actually might turn out that because of the way the deal is structured, we give them less money because of those schedules and things like that. So we'll see. There's a lot.
It's complicated. I mean, that's the thing about it. There's... Again, for the folks that are, you know, going to work every day, and the residents of Wausau may not be able to understand all of this, it feels as though these kind of projects are getting more complicated. Is that the case, or is it just the way it is? Because it just feels as though when you saw that meeting earlier in the month, it's like, man, it's like this is... There's so many factors involved for not just the city, but then again for the contractors, and they're looking at, you know, everything from interest rates to everything else going on. Again, I guess is just to underline it. You're still confident that the vision that you and the council have for what's going to happen within this redevelopment is still doable and still very much on the right track. Yeah. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, and that's what I'm hearing from both WAS and from T-Wall. They're confident. They just need a couple, you know, they want a little bit of an extension on this so that they can start work next year, which I'm willing to talk about it, right? Obviously, I don't get to decide. It's the council that gets to decide. But I will say, you know, after we had that meeting, and I do a lot of reflecting on this stuff. Yeah. Like, how do we change this? How do we make it better? How do we make it more understandable? And, you know, I got an article from, I think it was Oshkosh, something similar had happened right there. So it wasn't the same developer even, but the same argument was made. So it's happening across our state. And I think that we're just kind of in an interesting development era right now where people want to do a lot of stuff. There's a lot of money from the feds coming in, but it's hard to, you know, get going.
I was going to ask you, are there any economic pitfalls for the city? You mentioned the fact of while being back-ended, but generally in terms of, you know, just the delay of getting things, you know, to where we ultimately want them to be, whether it's for the tax base or whatever else, are there any pitfalls with that? And is there, you know, is there a sense that, hey, okay, we understand this delay, but we really do have to get moving in the right direction
spring? Some of our other projects are continuing to move forward, right? We're excited about Swiderski. We're excited about the Banter project on the west side. So stuff is happening and it's moving forward. I think probably the perception of this one, because it's so obvious, the mall is gone. There's eight city blocks that are just concrete. So it's obvious, it gets in your head a little bit, and you just keep thinking, like, when is this going to happen? When is the city going to do something? You know what? If I were not the mayor, I would be driving by that and saying the same thing. I totally get it.
Well, and put it in my point of view, when you talk about when is it going to happen, our new place is right there. We see that.
Oh, you're going to be rocking. I promise you.
But I keep telling my folks here at the radio with my ownership, when is this going to happen? When you know, you just get naturally frustrated, and I think that happens once in a while.
You know, that's the question I'm going to ask next week. Like, can you guarantee me this is the start date? Because if you're not going to start here, and we're going to be back here trying to negotiate this date again, I don't want it. Okay, like, give me the date. Let's be realistic here.
We understand there are sometimes, you know, things that have to be done, but at the same time, we got to move forward as
well.
Let's go. Combination of both. We got to take another quick time out. We're going to have a news update and then come back and talk more with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. The time is 9:28. Again, 70 degrees in Wausau. Looks like it's going to be a great weekend. So we'll come back with more here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, counting down the hours and minutes to the weekend. And before we go back into some issues, again, it's, you know, in terms of living around here, living in Wausau, and having the opportunity to, you know, have great events. And right now it's a very active time.
Oh my gosh. It is so busy.
Yeah, anything that you're looking forward to here?
Are you kidding me? It is Hmong Wausau Fest this weekend.
I knew you were going to say that.
I am so excited. We will be having somebody from the Department of State visiting with us, so we're excited to show him around. We're going to do some tours with him too, but yeah, really excited. It's going to be a great event.
Absolutely, and of course, we got the Wisconsin Valley Fair next week, so a lot of fun to be had.
Fair.
You know, it's that time. What is the summer like for the council and yourself in terms of what are you guys working on right now? Because so a lot of folks, you know, in the summertime, you start think you don't want to think about all that stuff, but you guys still have to be. What are you working on right now?
Yeah, so there's a lot of planning that takes place. We actually only have one meeting a month, a council meeting a month, so it's really nice. It gives people a little bit of time to breathe, vacation. There's some committee work that happens, but it's a lot of just staff planning. We're able to kind of push forward. You know, we're worked through our audit. There's a lot of work that you can't do when you're just in the grind every day.
Right. And what about, you know, budgetary? Because obviously we, you know, have been talking so much about the shared revenue aspect. Yeah. Where are you with the future budget? How has it been affected by the revenue that will be coming in after the changes? Yeah. Where do you kind of stand with that?
Yeah, we're really excited about getting $1 million more, obviously. But, you know,
it goes away really fast, doesn't it?
Super fast. When we're looking at the projections for healthcare, oh my gosh, like that might eat it. So we'll have those discussions happening. But, you know, we already started with our capital improvement projects planning. So that committee met, a bunch of times this month. So they were busy kind of reviewing all the projects that we want for capital. And that will get folded into the budget. We have the directors working on their individual department budgets and planning for next year. You know, obviously everyone has big ideas for what's next. So we're asking them to put those in supplementals so that we can analyze them. And the council has a little bit of control over that too. So
let's talk about another issue. You've been grappling with I recently saw in the city pages, a letter to the editor talking about wanting to focus on poverty for this upcoming 2024 mayoral election and also 2024 elections around. And obviously this week you saw a sad story of a woman who passed away drowning. Obviously with the heat issues, that's part of the issue with the homeless as well in our area. And we had the open door issue. Again, so much on the plate. And to kind of put an umbrella on it, what are your thoughts? What are your plans? What would you like to see the city be doing? Because, again, it's just a problem that I know we've been talking about, but where do we stand? Any new ideas in terms of this? Sure. Kind of throw it out there for you.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, obviously, really, really sad news about the woman who died. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, people can probably say about that. But ultimately, it's just, it's sad. Mm-hmm. We don't want that. We don't think people should die trying to, you know, just enjoy themselves. So that's a problem. We obviously we have a community outreach specialist who's working with this population. And she spent a lot of time this week kind of helping people get through their feelings about this and offering that support and making sure everyone is connected to resources. And it's a long process. You don't come up to somebody who has been living in a situation for a while or dealing with their own traumas and say, all right, we got a spot for you. All you have to do is sign up for this therapy and here's your house and all of that. Like, there's a lot. People, it's changing your life completely. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people determine how they want to be, you know, and we want them to live in safe places. So that work continues. We continue meeting with our community partners, with our housing task force. And this is on our minds every day. Every day we're talking about this stuff. And the point in time count just happened. So there were plenty of people that were found in this count. So it's still a problem and it's growing.
The housing aspect, and I know there's actually some anger for mm-hmm. folks who are advocates for the poor in our community, saying that we're up close to 50% that are either, you know, low income or working poor, and they get annoyed, to be honest with you, when I'm talking to a few of these people, when we hear about the high end housing that yeah. and basically what I was told is there should, for every bit of housing that is put into Wausau, there should be an aspect of low-income housing as well.
Sure.
Where do you stand? Because and the whole housing issue is such a complicated yeah. issue, because as we've talked about as well, people who can get a job here can't get housing here yeah. because there's just such an issue. The low-income aspect of the housing, right. what are you looking at?
Yeah, we're hearing across the board that people need housing. There are people who are doctors who can't move here because they can't find a place to live.
Right.
There are people who need low-income housing and they can't find any place. So, yes, we need a lot of housing in a lot of different areas. So we're looking at, we need, in order to just keep up with the population we have, we need 525 units by 2025. That's a lot. And so obviously we can't do that ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with developers. Developers like Gorman are really great. They apply for these tax credits. They're able to make the business work. But there's not a lot of developers like Gorman. And also getting these tax credits takes time. And they can't make the project solvent without those tax credits. So it is something we can consider as a city. If a developer came to us and said, hey, we need this number of dollars in order to make these housing units affordable, we can do that. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of people banging down the door for that, I will say. And we do need people who are moving out of kind of maybe the older housing stock into newer. We know that every time one of these new apartment complexes open, there's a wait list. So we know that we need all kinds of housing. So, yeah, I empathize. It is slow going. It took a long time to get that landmark going. It's taking a long time to get the West Side Battery going. And then we have another Commonwealth project going on Thomas and Grand, and that's going to take time. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of time and kind of finding that capital stack. So we do have that. There is an opportunity, if there's appetite in the council, to keep TIDs open longer to go towards affordable housing. That is an opportunity. So there's a lot. There's a lot we can do and a lot we're trying, but it's slow.
How do we get here? I mean, sometimes, because obviously you're just in your first term, and of course you've also been involved in other public service positions. But when you talk about that kind of shortfall when it comes to housing, how did we get here? Just for the educational aspect.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. It's not simply a Wausau issue, right? And mm-hmm. it's not even just a regional or state issue. This is across the country. I was talking to mayors in California, and they were basically like, what are you doing for housing? And I said, well, we're trying to build. I'm like, oh, we don't even have space to build. We built up. We have nothing. So I think this is just, maybe we got into the habit of not building things. I mean, there's a lot of pushback in neighborhoods where they want only single family homes instead of maybe more dense apartments. So, you know, we need to have these conversations. We keep talking. But, you know, ultimately it is a community decision on how to spend our dollars.
Is the whole idea of not in my backyard still a problem?
Oh, yeah, that's everywhere. You know, like we had one recently where somebody wanted to build a duplex and the neighbors didn't like it. So, you know, it met the planning criteria. So the plan commission passed it.
Mm-hmm.
But the council listened to the feedback from the neighbors and said, actually, no, we don't want this. So, you know, it's hard. It's hard because there's a lot of fear about what could happen instead of excitement over maybe what could happen in that way. You know, there's fear.
Going back to the open door shelter, obviously there was funding that was provided by you and the city, and then there was that issue with the. It was shut down for a short time, then back up. Where do we stand with all of that? Because again, we've had these issues with places that those who are unhoused can go, and that was another one I think caught a lot of attention. And I guess the whole timeline of we had the issue with the executive director leaving, and then being a little bit of a time frame where there was a problem with their shutdown, then back open again. Where do we stand with all that?
Yeah, so this is another one of those things where the city council said we want to make an impact on this issue. So, we're working with our community partners. It's not something that the city is set up to administer ourselves. So, we're working with Open Door, we're working with Catholic Charities. And so, when issues start to arise, we start having conversations internally and with these organizations. And so we pushed to make sure that folks are getting the right attention that they need. It's complicated, and sometimes the best thing in order to serve your community is you have to close your doors for a second, regroup, and then reopen it again. So I understand they have some limited hours right now. Catholic Charities is still open. We're working with the health department to identify other spaces, and they've been really great. So if people have questions or actually need that service, 211, we've been keeping them all up to date on every service. If you just call in and say, this is what I need, they will direct you where you need to go.
It has been a topic that has been in the news and in discussions for a number of months. Is it getting better for our community? Again, I know you've been talking a lot about it, and there's been attempts to partner up. Are we still treading water? Are you seeing any kind of improvements within the numbers of those that are unhoused in our community, and where we stand right now?
I can't tell you that it's improving, right? I can tell you that we're putting a lot of focus on it, and we're doing a lot of work towards trying to solve these issues. But it does seem that every time we're able to find stable housing for, three people, another 10 people are in our community that need the exact same thing. So I don't know. I don't know if that counts as improving. We're improving, but it feels like there's just the need is so heavy and great right now. Communities are seeing what we're doing, and they're asking us how we're being successful. I'm like, I don't think you understand. This is hard work. It's long, and it doesn't feel like you're succeeding ever. I think that's maybe the nature of leadership in an organization like this, right? It feels kind of bad a lot of the time, and you're like, am I doing the right thing? So I think that's, we all just need to keep pushing forward, right? That's the thing.
When you look at the issues that, because when you talk about a lot of these issues, it feels like they're coming to your desk on a certain day instead of, thinking big picture. One of the things about an election, and I haven't touched on it, but of course you are running for re-election in the spring. You've launched your campaign. But in terms of when you look at, beyond the day-to-day where, this is an issue that we need to work on right now, and it's right in front of me. As you look forward, what are the issues that you're going to be talking about that are going to affect WASA? Because so many communities, if you don't look ahead, if you don't have ideas on where we're going, they come up on you rather quickly. What are you going to be talking about in terms of the issues that you expect to be working on should you be reelected next spring?
Yeah, I'm expecting a lot of the issues that you've asked me about here today, right? Housing, water costs, the unhoused, making sure that things are affordable, making sure that people have access to jobs. I think a lot of that is going to be the same stuff here. I don't think you're going to find a lot of surprises, and I don't think you're going to find that the work that the city's been doing over the last several years is different from those issues. Now, is there a way to rocket charge some of what we're doing? I wish. I definitely wish. And we're working to figure out how to replace all of our lead laterals, right? So all of these things, you finally feel like you're making an impact, and then there's the next thing, right? So I think that you'll find no surprises here.
What about the power of the bully pulpit? Because I think sometimes, in terms of, government leaders, and obviously the mayor is a leader within our community, do you find that the bully pulpit is effective? Because you do talk about a lot of these issues. How effective is the bully pulpit? I'm as a political science degree major that I had. I was thinking about this. I was, you know, talking to a few other people. Because obviously you can't do, but we don't live in a system where anybody can do things by themselves. And I think people need to realize that very, very quickly. But the power of the bully pulpit, how do you look at it? Where do you decide to use that power as a mayor?
Yeah. So, you know, initially off the bat, you know, I was working really hard to communicate all the things COVID related, right? And so it was to our community directly. And, you know, I still want to talk to our community directly about what we're doing. That's really important. Mm-hmm. But I've also recognized that some of the stuff that we're working on is not unique. So I've been trying to reach out to make sure that other organizations, levels of government, know what we're doing. So we are being recognized nationally, internationally, on some of this work, and they are willing to put resources into us, right? So, you know, we are doing a lot. I think there's a lot of power in the bully pulpit, and it just, you can decide how you want to use it. Do you want to sit here yelling on a street corner? You can. That's a thing. I could tweet all day if I wanted to. But I really want our community to be highlighted. It can't be just about me, right? It has to be the stories of our community. If it's just about me, then I'm not doing my job. I could go be a TikTok influencer somewhere else.
Right. It really is about working together.
You have to. I mean, I cannot do anything by myself. And even if I wanted to, it would come across really terrible.
Absolutely. And again, so many issues that you're dealing with. Always appreciate you coming on by, talking about them.
Sure.
But get out there, enjoy the weekend, enjoy, again, the great activities going on here in Wausau.
I will be the blur you see running across the sports complex.
There you go. Mayor Katie Rosenberg, again, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a quick time out, come back, and then wrap things up for the week here. The final segment, Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thanks again to the mayor, Katie Rosenberg, for joining us. Today, Friday, July the 28th of 2023, taking a look at some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. 1945 on this date, a U.S. Army B-25 bomber accidentally crashed into the 79th floor of the Empire State Building, killing 14 and injuring 26. On this date in 1996, Dr. Jochen Heuer of Lübeck, Germany, not only performed a successful kidney transplant operation, but also provided his own kidney for the transplant. On this date in 1998, in Chandler, Arizona, four witnesses lifted a 2,400-pound car high enough for a 13-year-old boy trapped under it to crawl clear. Abraham Villa suffered severe cuts and bruises when the auto hit his bicycle and dragged him several feet. On this date in 2006, Mel Gibson launched an anti-Semitic tirade as he was arrested in Malibu, California for driving drunk. Gibson later apologized and was sentenced to probation and alcohol treatment. On this date in 2009, the Senate Judiciary Committee approved Sonia Sotomayor to be the first Hispanic justice on the Supreme Court. And on this date in 2018, the longest blood moon eclipse of the 21st century lasted 1 hour and 43 minutes. Some famous people that are celebrating birthdays today. Cartoonist Jim Davis of Garfield fame is 78 years old today. Actor Sally Struthers played Gloria Stivick on All in the Family, 76 years old today. On this day, also celebrating a birthday on this date is CBS News journalist Scott Pelley. He is 66 years old. Actor Lori Loughlin from Full House and 90210 is 59. UFC president Dana White turning 54 years old today. Actor Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell and Showgirls is 51. Actor John David Washington of Tenet and BlacKkKlansman is 39. And actor John Michael Hill of Elementary is 38 years old today. If you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being celebrated today. It is Hamburger Day. Also Milk Chocolate Day. System Administrator Appreciation Day. It is Water Park Day. World Hepatitis Day, and World Nature Conservation Day. So again, those are some special events being celebrated today. Our number for the day is $1.4 billion. Any idea what $1.4 billion is? Well, that is the gallons of paint used each year to coat everything in the U.S. So again, that is our number, $1.4 billion. Gallons of paint used each year to coat everything in the U.S. Hey, before we wrap things up, a reminder that we're down to the final few days of the Civic Media Statewide Blood Donation Challenge going on until July 31st. Still time for you to find your closest blood donation center by going to our website, civicmedia.us/giveblood. And the state of Wisconsin, like much of the rest of the country, is facing a severe blood bank shortage, and everybody's help is needed. So, go to the website, civicmedia.us/giveblood, and then you'll be able to find that nearest blood donation center. Once you make your appointment, when you go to the appointment, take a selfie while you're giving blood, and then post it to your social media, either Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or Threads with the hashtag Civic Pints, all one word, and then our team will contact you with all the details on finishing your entry. And you'll have a chance to win tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers at American Family Field, tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair, and also we are giving away 100 packs of swag as well. So again, civicmedia.us/giveblood for all the details, but find a donation center near you, make an appointment, take that selfie during your appointment, and help us close the gap in this severe blood bank shortage in the state of Wisconsin. Thanks to my guests today, Paul Micklegg and Mayor Katie Rosenberg. Have yourselves a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday from 8 until 10 a.m. Coming up next from 10 until noon, As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Matinere. Thanks again for joining me, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Call me a joker, call me a fool.